This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Subaru Baton Rouge. That's SubaruBR.com. Robin Dow is our producer, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. This is Friday Politics, and we're joined by the great audience of WWNO in New Orleans, along with WRKF in Baton Rouge, where we've been broadcasting this show for 20 years. 877-217-5757. General Honoré is our guest for much of the hour, the man who saved New Orleans and the rest of the state after Katrina. Hard to believe now, but that's been 18 and a half years. But we start for a few minutes with one of his friends, Foster Campbell, one of the few lions of the left in public office in Louisiana, of the 17 major offices in Louisiana, either regional or statewide elected. There are 17 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and Foster Campbell is one of the 3 Democrats as a public service commissioner. He actually won his election on the same day, same ballot, that Donald Trump won Louisiana in 2020. So he is a resilient warrior. And through the years, he has been a champion on environmental issues, going back to his days in the state Senate, where he served for 27 years. And there have been some developments lately regarding a Calcasieu Parish project that would result potentially in hundreds of millions of dollars going to those who are involved. And there was a hearing yesterday involving this. The governor of Louisiana was in the audience. That's John Bel Edwards, who leaves office 1 month from today. And Foster Campbell, what exactly happened? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim, and Merry Christmas to everybody that's listening. Yesterday was a bad day for Louisiana, a sad day for Louisiana. There was a resolution to the state. First of all, state owns property called White Lake, around 75,000 acres of property. It would be an ideal place to put this carbon capture project that could bring in millions of dollars to Louisiana, not hundreds of millions of dollars to the state of Louisiana, but a fellow named Kevin Sakura killed it. He's an alligator farmer somewhere in Abbeville, was on the police jury. He killed it. Can't understand why he killed it, but I do have a suspicion. But anyway,
how did he kill it?
Well, it was a resolution for to get passed by the Wildlife and Fisheries to offer this place to tell them to look at it to place the carbon capture plant on this particular place. And to make matters worse, the Wildlife Management Area, they already have 3 of them operating, or they've given the permits for 3. So it's odd that they turned this one down. And it was added to the agenda, so they need a unanimous vote. And Mr. Secure voted against it. But the plot thickens a little bit here. There's $1.2 billion of federal money coming to Louisiana and Texas. What's troubling to me, it goes on the wealthiest people in Louisiana's place. It goes on the King Ranch down in Kingsville, Texas. That's where they're looking to put it. And that's the richest people in the country. King Ranch has 1 million acres. These Stream family here has 40,000 acres in this particular area, and that's where they think this thing ought to go.
This is in, Paul Foster, this is in Calcasieu Parish, right?
Right.
Okay, so there are there's one in Kingsville, Texas, and one near Lake Charles, if I follow you.
That's right. Both owned by extremely wealthy people, and I do not believe in coincidences. Political coincidences. I've long forgot those. But anyway, let's go on a little further. Well, the place that they want to put it on the Stream property is a very short distance from White Lake that the state owns. So why doesn't it make better sense for the taxpayers to put it on the state-owned property and let the state of Louisiana reap $400, $500, $600, maybe more money, millions of dollars going to the state? That's where it ought to go. So I held a hearing at the Public Service Commission. I'm the chairman. I held a hearing. These people came before us. They told us that, they were going to get back with me. I had some questions for them. They haven't got back with me. They told me that no site has been chosen. Yet yesterday, ironically, this guy comes out of nowhere saying he's against it. And he's a big White Lake supporter. He lives in that area down there, and he's big, supposed to be a big hunter and fisher and represent the fur people and all that. So he kills it. The governor was in the room. He didn't say anything. So I'm real perturbed about this. This is a this seems like this is Louisiana politics at its best. I was hoping we'd get out of that. So I'm calling on John Bel Edwards. He has a month left, as you said earlier. And Mr. Landry, the new governor, to look at this property and get involved. John Bel Edwards appointed Mr. Secura. He can call him on the telephone and talk to him. They could have another hearing and pass this. This needs to be passed. This resolution needs to be passed because we need it on state land. Why would we put it on wealthy people's land in Cameron Parish or Calcasieu Parish? Why would we do that when we could go to the state and let the state get the hundreds of millions of dollars rather than some wealthy family in South Louisiana or the King Ranch? I'm not trying to run Texas business, but when I heard it was in Kingsville, Texas, what's the first thing you have when Kingsville, Texas, the King Ranch, those people, Kleebergs, own the whole place, banks, schools, you got it, which is fine. But they don't need to make more money off the state, off the federal government. That's taxpayers' money, and we ought to guard taxpayers' money the best we can. So in Louisiana, this is the right place to put it. Terribly upset yesterday that one guy killed it, who's an alligator farmer in Abbeville, appointed by John Bel Edwards. And I'm calling on John Bel Edwards and Mr. Landry, the new governor, governor-elect, to get involved, and let's put this project on state-owned property. There is a precedent already. We already have three other carbon capture facilities on state-owned properties, wildlife areas. That's where it ought to go, and the state ought to get the money. Now, somebody might say, well, why is Foster Campbell sticking his nose in this? He's a public service commission. I'll tell you why, because when you make electricity, you generate a lot of carbon dioxide, and they will be capturing that carbon dioxide, and they're going to have to store it somewhere. When they store it over here at this private facility or wherever, they'll have to pay a cost. That cost goes right to the people in Baton Rouge, everywhere else down there that has energy. If energy stores it, they're going to have to pay a cost. That cost goes right on the tax, right on the ratepayers' bills.
All right.
This is a big deal.
I just wanted to mention the person who apparently would benefit from this is a gentleman with a good reputation and obviously wildly successful in business, Gray Stream. But he is politically connected, and as we know, sometimes that helps a lot when you're pushing for a project, and we're talking about a person who's certainly qualified, but I'm gathering from your remarks, Commissioner Campbell, that you're not against him, you just think the state could get a better deal.
I think they can, but it is ironic now. It's just the plot thickens a little more. He is a chairman of Governor Landry, Governor-elect's energy, chemical, and maritime industry on his transition. He's the chairman, and he'll be naming the secretaries who name where this facility is going to go. They're going to have to get permits and all. So it's a terrible conflict there.
All right, let's slide in.
I don't know him.
Jim on I-12 between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Jim, please be concise. You're on with Commissioner Foster Campbell.
Absolutely. Good morning, gentlemen. I mean, the first thing to do in Louisiana and in Texas politics is that you follow the money, and it depends on who has made the proper political donations, and that's who gets the stuff.
All right. Well, that's true everywhere, that people who contribute generally benefit from those contributions. Some of them want access. Some of them want contracts. Some want both. But Foster Campbell, that's just the American way, although there was a governor of Alabama who actually went to federal prison for putting a campaign contributor on a board, Siegelman, who was governor of Alabama and also had been attorney general, secretary of state, lieutenant governor, but he went to jail for that. But anyway, we're not Alabama, we're Louisiana. I don't know that there's anything nefarious about rewarding your friends. As former Governor Edwin Edwards used to say, who am I going to reward? My enemies? But it does appear, based on what you're telling us, that there might be a better way as far as the state reaping revenues to do it the way you would like it to be done.
Well, of course it is. And the way that 9 out of 10 people would hear this, they would say, why don't you put it on the state land? That just makes sense. You've got 75,000 acres over here, state-owned property. They need levees. They need a lot of work done on it. They don't have the money to make sure this White Lake stays intact. You got a chance to get hundreds of millions, and yes, you're giving it to a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy family in Louisiana, or a super wealthy family in Texas.
Okay, we do have to roll, and we are going to segue to General Honoré. We'll get his take on this. But thank you, Commissioner Campbell, and we will follow this with you. And we're back after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Friday Politics on WWNO 89.9 New Orleans and WRKF 89.3 Baton Rouge. Robin Dow is at the ready if you'd like to call. And in the house is one of my favorite people, a true Louisiana legend. That term is often overused, but it applies in this case to General Russell Honoré, who served our country for 37 years in the U.S. Army and retired after getting lots of publicity, well-deserved, good publicity for his role in Katrina, but he was active long before that in war zones and in other hot spots across the globe. And as we know, Louisiana is often a hot spot when it comes to politics. He and Foster Campbell are friends, and you just heard Foster Campbell expressing concern about a project that would reap somebody probably hundreds of millions of dollars. But it involves this Gulf Coast sequestration plan. It involves this carbon capture philosophy, which some people are all in on, and others are saying, I don't know. Even Foster Campbell says he's not sure, but based on what he is discerning, it's worth a shot. What's your take on this, General?
I'm very suspect of the technology. I'm very suspect of the places that they've elected to put it, starting in Lake Maupaw, which was a sanctuary. Many people have camps in there. There are abandoned wells there. We are suspect that when you put carbon capture on the Lake Maupaw or under any lake that has had a lot of exploration, that old abandoned wells could cause that carbon capture to come back up and impact everything from aquifers to people living in that area. On the point that Mr. Campbell made, Senator Campbell made, I think is a common sense approach of how we should approach this and put it on state land where the state will benefit from it. Look, we're about 41% of our budget come from the federal government. And we got an opportunity here with this federal program. As much as I disagree with it, carbon capture at this point in time, but you understand that carbon capture is supported by the White House, the administration, it's supported by the governor, and it's supported by industry. Industry is interested in it because they will get carbon credits. Mm-hmm. For storing this carbon underneath the earth. What we don't know is what's the consequences. And what happened if it doesn't work? Who's going to be liable? We can't have another Bayou Corn where somebody come in and destroy our property, destroy our natural formations, and get to walk away. This is scary. Same thing like we had with BP off the coast and the impact it had. What is the liability of these companies that's going to do the carbon capture? And right now the state of Louisiana is giving them a free pass to come in and operate with no liability if it doesn't work.
Again, your number is 877-217-5757 for Talk Louisiana and emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. And Trudy in New Orleans asked about the incoming governor, Jeff Landry, who'll take the oath 1 month from today, 1 month away, January 8th, Elvis Presley's birthday. Jeff Landry becomes the governor of Louisiana, and Trudy asks about Jeff Landry, who has been supported by trial lawyers, and one of the reasons is that he, at this point, I think, is certainly open, if not willing and supportive of these lawsuits against the oil and gas industry. Do you think he will hold firm on that, or will he naturally gravitate to his friends being a conservative on the business side?
We will have to wait to see. It's not what he say, it's what he do. And the trial lawyers, I understand, supported him because of that agreement they made, but we'll see what happens. We have a lot of abandoned and wells and pipelines. Right now, we discovered today off the coast of Louisiana, Mississippi, another pipeline that's leaking or well without specific designation where it is. Let's face it, we've got tens of thousands of abandoned wells, and the federal government and the state has allowed oil and gas to leave abandoned oil wells and service lines throughout the Atchafalaya Basin. That is criminal to allow that to happen because it has a deteriorating impact on our environment. Particularly Atchafalaya Basin, the largest swamp in North America, is littered with abandoned oil wells, abandoned service lines, and abandoned pipelines. And as we get subsistence, those pipelines are being exposed. So if he's going to support the trial lawyers, he need to have his Department of Natural Resource and LDEQ enforce the damn laws that own the book to make these people clean up after themselves. And right now, the legislature has given the industry the ability to be able to abandon oil wells, and then the state take over responsibility for them. And it's not an even book. And we got federal monies to close some oil wells, but the responsibility go back to the permit. When the oil and gas companies signed these permits, that they agreed to clean up after themselves, and they haven't done it. And the legislature has given them a free pass. My concern with the governor is he's openly said his job is to support oil and gas. So I don't know how he's going to serve two masters, the Constitution, protect Title IX of the people of Louisiana to keep the safety of the state of Louisiana, and serve the oil and gas company. How are you going to do all three simultaneously? I don't know how the hell you're going to do that.
Well, he ran an amazing campaign, and he had support from industry, as you would expect for a conservative Republican, but also he had support from trial lawyers, many of whom are all in on these suits against the oil and gas companies for tearing up our coast. And another listener notes that I think a few days ago I said that Louisiana is losing a football field every hour. Now put that in perspective. That's 300 yards an hour. And he says I was actually off, that it's 30 football fields a day. So that's more than one an hour. Over the course of the last generation, we have lost landmass the size of Delaware. And yet we party and we are involved in other issues, and our congressional delegation is largely silent on coastal erosion and climate change. But if we're losing all this landmass at some point, these big cities, principally the crown jewel, New Orleans, will be threatened, and we may get the reputation of Nero fiddling while Louisiana washed away. Why are we not putting more emphasis on this, General?
Well, I think Governor John Bel Edwards created the Climate Task Force. He's formalized the CPRE to do management. The challenge is the money to do this. Where does the money come from to do some of these restorations, to do the diversion? And at the same time, how do we hold industry accountable for leaving all of those abandoned exploration canals they put in? Those canals allow saltwater intrusion to come into the wetlands, destroy the wetlands, and in many cases, those same companies blocked them off and created hunting places for people to go duck hunting. And it changed the ecology of our coast, where the green vegetation died because of saltwater intrusion. I was talking to a preacher down in Pointe-aux-Chenes, and he said, when I was a boy, I used to see alligators in front of our house. Now I see sharks. That is a man-made disaster left to us by the oil and gas industry. Yeah, they've created jobs, and they've provided natural resources for our nation, but they've left a mess. And I think it's a national security issue because we got to protect the Port of New Orleans. The Port of New Orleans is the largest exporter by ton of exports of stuff this nation sells. And oh, by the way, we make no money off that port. The state of Louisiana make no money off that transfer of goods and services through that great port.
Well,
that port has to be protected.
No doubt we have, as a state, been shortchanged for being the breadbasket for the United States and for much of the world. Paul in Denham Springs. Hello, Paul. Please be brief. We're heading to a break, but you're in before that with General Honore.
Good morning. I just think we need an information campaign to help people realize how carbon's depleting the ozone layer and it leads to heating up the climate, which increases the severity and frequency of storms. Thank you, General Russell Honore.
All right. I think that's a good point, but the most dangerous is methane. And we will have up to 7 LNG plants in Louisiana, which we make very little money off of, but is designed to take natural gas, turn it into LNG, and they flare off the methane. The methane is the most dangerous of the carbon of the greenhouse gases. And we need to have a law that prevent them from leaving methane to go into the air because that makes the hurricane stronger.
877-217-5757, halfway through the hour with General Russell Honore. We're back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased you are with us for Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF, and General Russell Honore is with us, and he is an environmental champion. He, of course, follows American and Louisiana politics home, the pride of Lakeland, Louisiana, born there in 1947, and this week the general lost a brother, 8 years younger.
Yeah, Pete Jude Honore.
And you're 8th out of 12, and he was number 12.
He was number 12. He was a caboose.
And a Marine.
And a Marine on top of it, a very fine Marine.
How many of the Honores served in the military?
4 of us. Older brother John, Navy, Al, one older than me, number 8. He served in the Army, and Pete came along. He went to Marines.
Okay, so 2 Army, 1 Navy, 1 Marine.
Yes, sir.
I would say you've done your patriotic chore, the honorees have.
And both of my sons are in the Army now, in Louisiana National Guard.
That's quite impressive, and we salute you for your service. But the world has always been a dangerous place, and it is now. And let's start with Ukraine. The other day, and a vote from the U.S. Senate, both Louisiana senators voted against aid to Ukraine. It's kind of, in the last 2 months, taken a backseat to what's happened in Gaza, but obviously that is a place where the United States will be hugely embarrassed if Vladimir Putin ends up taking over the capital in Kyiv.
You know, I heard a very competent Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense make the case that the reason we have in Ukraine is to stop Russian aggression. And the percentage of our budget, defense budget and State Department budget, is less than 10%. What that's done is degraded the Russian army by supporting Ukraine by about a third, estimated by some, of their combat power, fighting little old Ukraine, because we were able to reinforce them with advanced weapon systems, from drones to artillery to missiles. We still owe them the fighter aircraft that they need and more long-range missiles. But Ukraine is fighting a war. If they were not fighting, we would be fighting. So we've lost no American soldiers in this. The Ukrainians have put their life on the line. They've lost much of the infrastructure to try and protect themselves from Russian aggression. And let's face it, many analysts have said the same thing. Putin will not stop at Ukraine. This will end up being a NATO fight if we can't stop in Ukraine. And we have not gotten the results that many predicted from the counteroffensive, but this is a war. We have to continue to fund Ukraine. And I think in many cases, people are playing politics with this to say, let's spend more money in America and less money on Ukraine. It's better to spend money than spend blood. And right now we're spending money and giving Ukraine what they need to defend themselves. But also we need to give them more stuff so they can go on and complete the counteroffensive and kick Russia out of Ukraine. And they can do it. They've got the will to fight. We need to provide them with more equipment. And this is a crying damn shame not to give them what they need to fight this war.
What about Gaza?
Gaza is a mess. There's no denying that what Hamas did on 7 October as a terrorist event, killing over 1,400, capturing and detaining over 200 and some odd Israeli as well as American and other citizens and taking them back into Gaza was a very horrific event. I do think, and we've got to press the leadership in Israel, and we've got to sort out the discourse that's happening in America that I'm on the Palestinian side or I'm on the Israeli side or I'm against this as a religious or a Jewish or Arabic. That is really going sideways in America. We support Israel. We're against terrorism. And that was an act of terror. But one must question the leadership in Israel now under Netanyahu and what political objectives he seeks to achieve. Wanting to destroy Hamas is a noble goal. But how do you do that without destroying all of Gaza and killing over 10,000, mostly women and children, in the process of doing that? He will win battles, but he could lose this war. Because the streets around the world are concerned about the amount of civilian life that's being lost. And there's an old saying that goes back a long way. If you fight for revenge, you dig two graves, one for your enemy and one for yourself. And I think this is turning into a revenge because the IDF was flat on their butt on 7 October by not defending their border against Gaza.
All right. We will go to the phones in just a moment, but I do have an email from Silas in Baton Rouge saying carbon capture is to the oil industry what the plastics recycling program has been for the chemical industry, a slick media campaign designed, in his estimation, to divert public attention from a problem. Silas continues, using carbon fuels, the proposed Calcasieu facility will capture and sequester some 1 million tons. If it works out as hoped, it will one day in the future use green energy to remove roughly 35 million tons. This is akin to using a straw to drain the world's oceans, but those efforts will prove effective in making a gullible public think real progress is being made on climate change. We're suckers for anything here in Louisiana. Is he overstating this?
I think he's got a good point, and it's worth discussing. Right now, they've made the decision in the White House to go with it and to give the carbon credit. This would not happen if the White House had not put the money in there to give the carbon capture money, carbon credit money, to those industries that are participating. Plus, they've got to run pipelines, Jim, to put it into these sequestered areas. I'm with Foster Campbell. If you're going to do it, put it in White Lake. Let the state benefit from it. And I share all of his concerns that this is a what I referred to as sometime I can't say on radio.
LaShonda writes, it's no secret that every day is a sad day in Louisiana when the Board of Commerce and Industry is continually allowed to lord over all the money the state receives. She says the members need to be elected. And obviously, that's a board that has a lot of clout.
Well, we got to ask ourselves. We're the second, the first in LNG and the second in overall energy production in the country. Why are we the second poorest state? And much of that has to do with the tax credits that the parishes give up to oil and gas and industry for creating jobs in the parishes, which never come to fruition. And the question is, will Governor-elect Landry follow Governor Edwards' adjustment to the tax credit by allowing the parishes to have a vote? But in essence, all that has done is the parishes continue to give the tax credit, thereby starving their school systems, the sheriff's office, and the public parks and recreation and everything else that benefit from tax credits. This is ridiculous. Texas only gives 2 years tax credit, and they don't give exemptions for education. You cannot get a tax credit in Texas, but Texas got good school. Why Louisiana give 3 years tax exemption for a well and give them 10 years if they do industrial tax breaks and allow them to give tax money that should be going to schools to major industrial companies. And I could name a dozen of them right now, but I won't because I'm afraid they'll sue me. But they get tax breaks, that money that should be going to schools. And one of Landry's priorities is education. Where's he going to get the money to pay for that if you continue to give tax breaks to industry?
All right, Ellen in Baton Rouge. Ellen, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with the general.
Good morning.
What's your question, Ellen?
Yes, I just wanted to get back to the to Hamas and Israel. I think you know, General Honoré, that Israel has the most humane and responsible army in the world, and they do everything possible to minimize and keep civilian casualties from happening.
And you mentioned that this is in part for revenge, and I'm sure that's true, but I'm sure they want to make sure this never happens again. They want to make it so rough for Hamas that they never try something like this again. But where do you draw the line, General?
Look, I've been to Gaza.
I have too.
I've been in the West Bank, and I've been to Israel. We understand the dilemma. They're using conventional tactics in the counterterrorism fight. And we learned long ago, going from Vietnam through Iraq and Afghanistan, bombs will not destroy Hamas. It's an idea. It's a part of the Muslim Brotherhood who committed to publicly the destruction of Israel. But conventional warfare will not destroy Hamas. Okay.
Patrick in Baton Rouge. Patrick, please be brief.
Yeah, I guess it's okay for Ukraine to bomb Russian children. But I guess the thing about the funding for Ukraine, it's tied to our border policy. Don't you think our protecting our border is more important than funding the Ukraine?
If I had to make the decision, I would fund Ukraine and close the damn border. We've been generous enough on the border. If it comes down to getting the Republicans' vote, close the damn border. Okay. Obama did it. Trump did it. Close the damn border and support Ukraine.
Bill and Jefferson, no, you've been waiting a while. We're going to slide you in before the break. Please be brief. Hi, Bill.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to point out that livestock production, primarily cows, produce about 14.5% of global greenhouse emissions.
Cows is not the damn problem. It's the energy production and the LNG plants we put in Louisiana. Okay. Don't blame it on the cows.
All right. We'll be back with the general after this. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Friday Politics on WRKF and WWNO. If you'd like to get in the last quarter hour, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with General Russell Honoré. And a few notes. Jaden Daniels of LSU almost certainly will win the Heisman Trophy tomorrow, and that is that's great for Louisiana and well-deserved. And Monday in New Orleans, Judge Susie Morgan, federal court, LSU will be in court. There is a trial date. Now, amazingly, this story has not generated much publicity, but Sharon Lewis, the veteran deputy associate athletic director who's suing the university for discrimination, and she remains, by the way, she was an all-star athlete herself. She remains head of the National L Club of all the lettermen and women of LSU sports. She is on her way to court Monday. Now, who knows? There might be a settlement on the courthouse steps, but at this point, it doesn't look like that will happen. Got a few more minutes with the General Taylor in New Orleans. Taylor, good morning.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, is there any real chance at a peace solution while someone like Benjamin Netanyahu remains in power?
I don't think so. He is, and his coalition government, matter of fact, has done things to crack down on the West Bank. At the same time, we've got the Gaza fight going on. I don't see him as a solution to this. And I think over time, the people of Israel will come to a conclusion. He has to go. I don't think he believes in two-state solution. And he's hell-bent on the destruction of Hamas, which is good. Everybody agree with that. That's a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him as a part of a future peace deal where these two people can live in harmony almost in the same space. I don't see him as a solution to that.
Last time you were on this show, it's as emotional as I've ever seen you railing against Senator Tuberville of Alabama, the former Auburn football coach, for holding up military promotions. And he did this for a long time, close to a year. He's relented, but has grave damage been done to the military?
Yes. It's affected morale of the military, the senior leadership military, and the military readiness. And he's still in holding up some 10 or 12 four-star generals. And it's like a game for him to do this for his own political purposes. And it's time for the Senate to create a rule that would allow these officers to move on to the position. I still think there's a room for a presidential decision where the president send these officers to their position. Suits will be filed and go to damn Supreme Court because we need these officers in their position. Okay. And the president can do that under his authority to send them to the positions and then let it go to the Supreme Court whether the president has the authority to do that. We've got to have those officers, the head of those major commands that have been selected. And right now, Tuberville is holding it up for his own political reason.
All right. Final call for General Honoré, and for those of you who are unable to get in today, we will, of course, invite the general back soon and very soon. Which one should I take? Robin, the one? You want to try Mike in Metairie? Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with General Honoré. Hello, Mike. Mike, you're on the air. Okay, let's go to it's Phil. And, well, Mike, are you there? Can we got okay, please, what's your question?
I had something I wanted to throw out there to try and get to the public regarding the insurance, homeowners insurance, and people losing their home. And I had an idea that I think would solve the whole insurance problem. As a layman, I'd like to put it out there.
Well, we don't have time for an extended conversation about that, but it is a huge problem, particularly in your area, but it is infiltrating the whole state, and the cost of property insurance is immense, and the new governor, who takes office a month from today, will have a huge task, as will the new insurance commissioner, Tim Temple, General.
Absolutely. It's a result of the storms, as a result of the storms getting stronger. The insurance company's walking away. It's too much of a liability for them. And I don't know a solution to this, but even flood insurance, I don't know how people afford it. Some of them $700-$800 a month. This is going to be a problem. And this will be something we'll see how this new governor takes this on.
Well, General, always an honor. Sorry for the loss of your gallant brother, USMC.
And happy holidays, everybody.
And we'll be talking.
Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Yeah, we'll be talking in the coming year. And John Word is in studio as we segue. Today is the 80th anniversary of the birth of one Jim Morrison, frontman for The Doors, born on this date, 8 December 1943, Melbourne, Florida. Robin Dow, do you have James Douglas Morrison ready? He had a catalog of classics in his brief tenure. Of course, died at the age of 27.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. She's walking down the street, blind to every eye she meets. Do you think you'll be the guy to make the queen of the angel's side?
D. Do you think you'll be the guy to make the Queen of the Angels sigh? There's a great story about how that song was written on Venice Beach with Jim Morrison in the company of Ray Manzarek, who, of course, was a member of The Doors, and John Wirt. Jim Morrison, dead at 27, July 3rd, 1971. Apparent overdose in Paris. What a loss, but you could see it coming. And his last concert with The Doors was in December of 1970, 53 years ago this month in New Orleans, Warehouse District. What do you know about Jim Morrison, John Wirt?
Well, as you say, December 12th, this is will be the 53rd anniversary of the final Doors concert at the Warehouse on Chapatula Street in New Orleans. And I interviewed one of the Doors, John Densmore, in 2007 when they had a 40th anniversary events for the Doors' debut album, Light My Fire. And John talked about that a little bit. He mentioned that he's the guy who was telling the other Doors, we've got to stop touring because Jim is out of control. And about 6 months later, Jim was indeed dead.
Well, Jim grew up in Melbourne, Florida. His father was a military guy and a high-ranking military, Admiral George Stephen Morrison, died in 2008 of an accidental fall. But his son hit the big time. He went to UCLA, got a degree, and he was working at the Sunset Strip, Whiskey A Go-Go, as a warm-up guy for Baton Rouge's Johnny Rivers. And the Doors then hit it big with Light My Fire. And for those who were there in that concert in New Orleans 53 years ago, that was the final one for the Doors, I'm told this, Robin, was the final song ever played on stage by the Doors in New Orleans.
Riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown.
The music's held up well. Still hear it a lot today. John in Baton Rouge, let's slide you in. John, you're on with John Wirt, who has covered the Doors.
Great.
Yes.
Good morning. Great show as always. It's hard to imagine Jim Morrison in any other way than the way we saw and heard him. John, what direction do you think he would have gone had he lived longer?
That's a great question. And in fact, when I spoke to John Densmore in 2007, he was hopeful that Jim would go to Paris and clean up, get straighten his head up, and they would carry on. But of course, it didn't work that way. But on the other hand, if Jim Morrison had lived, he might be in the top 10 or number one today. Like so many of these older artists, it's been incredible. The past few months, Dolly Parton, Brenda Lee, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Cher, they've all had hit records and been on TV and everywhere. So, and you know, Jim might have been one of them if he'd lived.
And on his 80th birthday, Jim Morrison, who died at 27, he would be younger if he were alive than Mick Jagger or Paul McCartney. So that puts it in perspective. Listener asked the origin of the name. It's from Aldous Huxley's 1954 book, Doors of Perception, which documented experiments with mescaline. John Wirt, thank you. Let's get you back. I want to hear more about Brenda Lee, who's making a comeback. Until Monday, for Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay safe. Stay tuned.